Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 38 degrees here in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers.
And I'm Arlo Barnett.
We're seeing some people who are relatively healthy going in the hospital with influenza, and that's rare.
The flu virus is hitting the Commonwealth hard this winter.
The cost of opioid overdoses to municipalities has increased.
Three people were injured during a shooting yesterday in Lexington.
Some Kentuckians could lose help from energy efficiency programs.
Moorhead State University is working to repair a water main break on campus.
In sports, Alabama and Georgia face off tonight for the college national championship.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
Showers expected early tonight with lows around 29 degrees. Stay tuned for an extended weather forecast after this news.
There are now a total of 5 confirmed flu deaths in Lexington. The Lexington-Fayette County Health Department has confirmed that statistic. According to LEX 18, officials there confirm all of the victims had underlying health complications in addition to the flu virus. Elderly folks are among those most vulnerable to the flu, especially when dealing with other illnesses that make their immune system work overtime. The CDC recommends anyone 6 months and older get vaccinated. The flu is now at widespread activity across the state. Doctors say it's not too late to get the flu shot.
A local physician says this is a bad year for the flu. According to Dr. Tony Weaver, assistant dean for the University of Kentucky's Rural Physicians Leadership Program in Moorhead, there is not an effective vaccine available to combat the latest strain of the flu. Weaver says there's a key reason why.
They choose these vaccines about 6 months in advance because they're grown in eggs. Now, we're trying to fix that so that we don't have to predict the flu 6 months in advance. It happens this year that they chose the wrong viruses. So it's about 10% effective, the vaccine is. That's below where we usually see the effectiveness.
Weaver says there are some things you can do to help prevent catching the flu, avoid contact with those who are sick, avoid touching your face and nose if you do run across someone who's ill, wash your hands frequently, and get plenty of rest.
With the opioid epidemic in full force, Lexington officials say Narcan spending is up. Narcan is a drug administered to reverse the effects of an opioid overdose. According to WKYT, over 2,300 doses of Narcan were administered in Lexington to about 1,700 patients last year. Lexington EMS Director Dr. Ryan Stanton says the spending for Narcan has shot up over the past 10 years.
Now, to give you an idea, we are giving more doses than we were spending in dollars 10 years ago. And now, so we went from about $2,000 a year to pay for the Narcan that we were administering, to now this year we're probably going to be right around $80,000 through the 2017 year for the Narcan that was administered.
The drug was once priced at around $2 per dose and now is $38 to $40 per dose.
Three people were injured in Lexington during a shooting yesterday. WKYT reports police are searching for the suspects in the incident, which happened around 2:15 p.m. on 5th Street. Police say one victim is an adult and the other two are juveniles. They say two have minor injuries and one is in serious condition. Anyone with information on the suspects is asked to contact Lexington police.
A Lexington family safely escaped a house fire this morning. WKYT reports smoke detectors woke up 5 people around 3:30 in a residence on Hayes Boulevard. Crews had the blaze under control in around 45 minutes. The cause of the fire is still under investigation.
The Russell Police Department has added some help to their police force. WMKY's Tilden Johnson reports.
According to the Ashland Daily Independent, new officers Josh Gearhart and Joe Dixon received their badges and were recently sworn in at the Russell Police Department. With the addition of the two patrolmen, the once understaffed squad now has all of its positions filled. Police Chief Ned Crisp said in an email to the media that the new officers will help them continue to provide Russell citizens with the best possible protection. Gearhart and Dixon recently underwent their first day of field training. For WMKY News, I'm Tilden Johnson.
Some offices on Moorhead State University's main campus were forced to be closed today because of a water line break. Warmer temperatures after last week's freeze caused a break that affected several buildings, including the Camden Carroll Library, Allied Young Hall, Thompson Hall, Ginger Hall, and Breckenridge Hall. Facilities spokeswoman Shayla Ring says Allie Young Hall has some flooding in the basement level.
So right now, data services and voice services, so all phone and internet, are currently offline in that building. So if anyone is trying to reach conference and event services, auxiliary services, card services, all of those are temporarily offline because of this water break.
Ring says crews will be working to repair the break overnight. She hopes everything is back to normal on Tuesday.
Morehead State's president will unveil some details about the university's new strategic plan during the school's spring convocation this Wednesday. Dr. Jay Morgan says about 70 to 80 members of the campus community provided input for the plan over the past several months. Morgan notes one thing MSU wants to do moving forward is to change its so-called fractional load.
We're trying to get more people to teach in the classroom, fewer administrators around campus, more people teaching. We're going to be asking some of our staff to take on a very small teaching load, maybe teach a course or two a year. I think that's a good thing. I think that strengthens the university. I think it brings the faculty side and the staff side together and allows everybody to really be involved in student success.
Morgan also plans to put together a 6 to 10 member committee to study Morehead State's facilities in an effort to better use them and to reduce expenses. The university recently tore down 6 of its buildings.
Workers are completing the task of tearing down an eyesore in downtown Vanceburg. According to the Maysville Ledger-Independent, they've spent the past several weeks razing the former L.V. Marks shoe factory on Rowley Street. Part of its roof had caved in, and officials say the building had become dangerous. Mayor Matt Ginn reports the city remains open-minded about the future of the property, which he believes has a lot of potential.
There's a couple property owners that was around it or whatever that's talking about, $350,000 apartment homes being put back on their place once it's tore down. And it's adjacent property to this one, so you know, there has been some of them, but that actual property itself or whatever, people's self-help housings, you know, it basically cleans up the whole area.
Vanceburg received $250,000 in federal and state grants to raise the old shoe plant and clean up the site.
Some Kentuckians could be losing access to energy efficiency programs. Mary Sherman has this report.
Louisville Gas and Electric and Kentucky Utilities want to end more than a dozen energy efficiency programs for residential customers. The companies say the programs have been such a success that they have saved the energy equivalency of a new power plant and have become no longer cost-effective. But Wallace McMullen with the Greater Louisville Sierra Club says the devil is in the details. He contends that in their evaluations, LG&E and KU undervalue the cost of electricity.
Louisville Gas and Electric sells electricity to their customers at 10 cents a kilowatt hour. However, if we manage to save electricity and reduce consumption, they say the kilowatt hours that we have reduced are worth only 3 cents.
Furthermore, the high demand charge for customers is 19 cents a kilowatt hour, which McMullen explains the company's value at 0 cents a kilowatt hour when evaluating energy efficiency programs. The Kentucky Public Service Commission is reviewing the proposal to see if it passes a cost efficiency analysis.
We'll have more of your region's headlines after this.
Support for MSPR comes from the Rowan County Fiscal Court, reminding you to drive safe and smart this winter. Before traveling, check weather conditions. Allow extra time and avoid traveling in severe weather. Remember to slow down, provide extra space for other vehicles, and always wear your seatbelt. The Rowan County Fiscal Court and Road Department appreciate your patience, working to keep you safe on the road this winter.
The Special House Committee investigating Speaker Jeff Hoover held its first meeting Friday in Frankfort. The committee will decide whether charges against Hoover are valid and if they warrant further investigation. Spectrum News was at the initial meeting to set up procedural rules led by Committee Chair Representative Jerry Miller.
I expect confidentiality and discretion outside of this committee room in terms of who you discuss what with. I expect meetings will continue on a schedule of 30 minutes after session. Since this is an investigative body, at some point in time, meetings will be closed.
Miller emphasized the importance of getting the investigation done in a timely manner, allowing lawmakers to focus on the current legislative session.
2018 is shaping up to be 6th District Representative Andy Barr's biggest election year challenge since his upset victory over Democrat Ben Chandler in 2012. WUKY's Josh James reports.
Backlashes against former President Barack Obama helped Barr at the ballot box. But now that a polarizing Republican occupies the White House, the congressman is facing more headwinds as he launches his reelection campaign. At a Thursday press conference, Barr appeared to put some distance between himself and President Trump.
Today, on the left, there's a lot of energy and enthusiasm because of the election of Donald Trump. I don't think that reflects on my work in Congress. I think that's totally independent.
Yet Barr's platform has lined up squarely with many top Trump administration priorities, from deregulation to tax reform. His support for Affordable Care Act repeal efforts has also attracted vocal protests at town hall meetings. He now faces at least 5 Democratic challengers. In December, the independent Cook Political Report moved the race from likely Republican to lean Republican after the entry of Lexington Mayor Jim Gray. In Lexington, I'm Josh James reporting.
It's important to remember that not all high school graduates will go to college. That's according to Kentucky's Commissioner of Education, Steve Pruitt. Pruitt spoke in Moorhead last week at the Moorhead-Rowan County Chamber of Commerce meeting. He says that while focusing on educating children for jobs in the STEM field, the state should not put all its eggs in one basket.
While we definitely need to fill jobs and we need to give kids more career opportunities, we've also got to recognize that there's got to be that balance. We can't completely say, well, we don't need people to be doctors and lawyers and PhDs. We've got to have that balance with providing kids opportunities for manufacturing.
Pruitt says he expects big changes to education during this year's 60-day legislative session.
Kentucky's House Minority Leader is exploring the idea of running for the state's top office. Moorhead Representative Rocky Adkins says he's getting a lot of encouragement to look at running for governor in 2019. Adkins tells Spectrum News that if he decides to run for governor, his eastern Kentucky roots would be an asset.
I don't see being from Elliott County and Sandy Hook being any kind of a negative myself. I see that being a positive. And the reason I see it being a positive is because everything that I've gotten in life, I've worked hard for it and I've earned it, and I think that's what it takes in anything that you want to achieve in life.
Adkins says his party's objective this year is to take back the House, so his top priority is helping Democratic candidates win seats in the 2018 election.
Kentucky's Agricultural Commissioner plans to announce an initiative to combat hunger. A statement from the Agriculture Department says Commissioner Ryan Quarles will unveil a program today to create an economic incentive to provide fresh local produce for residents in need. The initiative is being announced at the Kentucky Fruit and Vegetable Conference in Lexington. Quarles formed a statewide hunger task force in 2016 to delve into the problem at a time when food banks were struggling to keep up with demand. The panel has held meetings around the state to determine what logistics are necessary to meet the needs of each area. Quarles has said that it's unacceptable to have a hunger problem in a state with a rich agricultural history.
Senator Rand Paul says he's recovering well from the November assault that left him with 6 broken ribs, but says violence against political figures is a concern among his colleagues in the Senate. The Kentucky Republican on Sunday told CBS's Face the Nation his fellow lawmakers don't want to think it's open season on elected officials, but he says his own injuries and the June shooting that wounded members of Congress at a baseball practice in Virginia have made an impression on lawmakers. Paul was pressed during the television interview about whether political grievances led his neighbor to tackle the senator while he was mowing the lawn. Paul gave no opinion and said people are too focused on attackers' motives rather than on punishment and deterrence. Turning now to a look at the weather forecast for the WMKY listening region. Tonight, a 30% chance of rain with cloudy skies and a low around 32 degrees. Tomorrow, it'll be mostly cloudy, highs up near 44. Tomorrow night, a 20% chance of showers, mostly cloudy with lows around 39 degrees. On Wednesday, a 30% chance of rain, mostly in the morning, mostly cloudy skies, and much warmer temperatures, highs around 56 degrees. That night, mostly cloudy, lows around 47. And on Thursday, a 50% chance of rain in the afternoon, mostly cloudy, with highs all the way up around 62 degrees. It's currently 38 degrees in Ashland, 37 right now in Winchester, Inez, and in Flemingsburg. In fact, it's also 37 in Lexington and here on the campus of Morehead State University.
On our feature segment today, the annual Winter Adventure Weekend is coming soon to Carter Caves. WMKY's Chaz Jenkins has more.
Carter Caves State Resort Park has been hosting the Winter Adventure Weekend for 9 years. This event allows people to partake in several different winter activities, both outdoor and in, from January 25th to the 28th. Kentucky State Park naturalist Coy Ainsley says it's one of the largest events of the year.
It always happens the last full weekend in January, and it draws in a lot of volunteers, and it also draws in a lot of guests coming to the park to experience 4 days of adventure. The event is based around different field trips, both going out into the woods, plus some workshops indoors.
Some activities available during the weekend are geocaching, backpacking, canoe camping, yoga in the caves, photography, primitive skill, and ice skating. Ainsley says that's only the tip of the iceberg.
The event has anything and everything outdoors. You're doing a lot of different types of cave tours, both walking and wild cave tours. There is rock climbing, there's rappelling, there's ice climbing. We do a lot of 101s. So there's just all kinds of things. It's a plethora of outdoor adventures here throughout the weekend.
Ainsley says the Winter Adventure Weekend gets bigger and better every year.
Last year we had about 430 participants, and we're always right around the 100-person mark for our volunteers that help come assist. This year we got a new record number of trips over the 4 days. We have 201 options for folks to come out and take part in.
Ainsley says it's important in this day and age to be active.
Something neat that we see during this weekend is all kinds of kids coming out with families and groups, and they're outside. Whether it's cold or if it's snowing, they're outside doing things physically active. And you see people not so much on their phones as much as you do under normal situations in life.
Ainsley says during the weekend, there are moments where people are on their phones, but it's not because they're bored.
They're usually taking pictures of their buddies enjoying a hike or going down the zip line or rappelling for the first time. It's also a good time of year because a lot of people have been cooped up. It's kind of cold outside in December and January. Kind of breaks that cabin fever. People can get out and move around a bit.
4 days of fun in the cold, taking place during the final weekend of January at the Carter Caves Resort Park. More information is available online at winterweekend.com, or you can call their number at 606-286-7009. For WMKY News, I'm Chaz Jenkins.
It's 448 and 38 degrees here on the beautiful campus of Morehead State University. I'm your Mountain Edition host, Leanne Akers, here with Arlo Barnett, and we're so glad that you've joined us on this soggy Monday afternoon. Sean Delaney has sports in 30 seconds.
Support for MSPR comes from the Innovation Launchpad at Morehead State University. The Innovation Launchpad provides education, collaboration, and infrastructure for new or startup businesses with consulting services, financial planning, workstations, meeting, and conference rooms. Located at 149 East Main Street in Morehead, the Innovation Launchpad seeks innovative visionaries who want to start or grow their company, facilitate partnerships, and create jobs. More information at moreheadstate.edu/innovation.
The Cross-Border Battle. Good evening, this is WMKY Sports, and I'm Sean Delaney. College football's national championship game goes on the line tonight at 8 o'clock in Atlanta as Georgia takes on Alabama at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Coach Kirby Smart says Georgia's top key for beating the Crimson Tide will be winning at the line of scrimmage, which he admits is easier said than done.
They've got an extremely physical offensive and defensive lines. I mean, they are as big and as physical as we've faced. And we know we like to run the ball and we like to stop the run. But when you look at the unit that he's comprised and got, it's a dominant physical team.
On the other sideline, Alabama coach Nick Saban believes it will be crucial for the Crimson Tide to limit their mistakes.
When you're playing against a really good team, and probably two teams that are fairly evenly matched and two teams that philosophically are not a whole lot dissimilar in terms of the things they want to do to win, run the ball, don't turn the ball over, play good field position, be good on special teams. So it's going to be the errors and execution, all right, that have a critical effect on the outcome of the game.
Even though both teams play in the SEC, they didn't face each other during the regular season. Most experts are making Bama the 3-4 favorite to win tonight. Bill Lazor is looking forward to a full season as Cincinnati Bengals offensive coordinator. The former quarterback's coach was promoted to that job in mid-September after head coach Marvin Lewis fired Ken Zampezi. Lazor says he really couldn't implement a lot of changes in the Bengals offense after taking over for Zampezi a few games into the season.
When you're in a position like we were this past year where things changed midstream and perhaps there's something you want to do that's a little different, and you have to make a decision, do I have enough time in a game week to really get this taught the right way? And sometimes you do and sometimes you don't.
Lazor says that should be a reminder to him and his staff and players to show up every week with the proper intensity and willingness to focus on the job at hand. The NFL and NFL Players Association plan to conduct a joint review to determine if the Carolina Panthers follow the correct concussion protocol with quarterback Cam Newton in their 31-26 playoff loss to the New Orleans Saints yesterday. If the concussion protocol was not properly followed, the team is subject to discipline, including a $150,000 fine. Newton took a shot to the head area midway through the fourth quarter. He sat out one play but returned on the next series and finished the game. Endorsement and sponsorship deals between universities and sports companies would face added scrutiny under a bill filed last week by a Lexington lawmaker. WUKY's Josh James has more.
Democratic Representative Kelly Flood filed legislation that would send the multi-million dollar deals to schools' boards of trustees for review. In a news release, Flood said the contract should receive more oversight to ensure that they, quote, protect the university's good reputation and aren't financially viable. The move comes in response to a federal investigation into the University of Louisville's $165 million sponsorship contract with apparel maker Adidas. The scandal led to the firing of U of L basketball coach Rick Pitino and athletics director Tom Jurich. The Lexington Herald-Leader reports the contracts must go through normal procurement channels but do not typically go before trustees. Flood says there is no distinction between a university and its sports teams, and the school's governing board should have a formal role in okaying the lucrative deals. In Lexington, I'm Josh James reporting.
As his young team continues to go through its growing pains, Morehead State men's basketball coach Preston Spradlin is looking for a few good men. According to Spradlin, the freshman and sophomore-laden Eagles need some leaders to step forward.
We need an on-the-floor leader, we need a locker room leader, we need a in-the-dorm leader. We need all those things, and you know, we're talking about it with them, we're challenging them to do it. The problem with being the leader is there's a lot that comes with it. It's a lot of responsibility, it's a lot of heavy lifting, and it is a full-time, it's more than a full-time job.
Spradlin's Eagles will look to snap a five-game losing streak on Thursday night when they visit Southeast Missouri State. And finally in sports, both Rowan County basketball teams have games slated for tomorrow night. The 8-5 Viking boys will be at home at 7:30 to face Menifee County, which beat Rowan 66-61 in Frenchburg last month. Coach Sean Thacker says even though his team doesn't have a go-to guy this season, three Vikings are averaging in double figures, and it's found a way to score.
Our post players continue to be who we need to play through, and with those guys, it allows our guards to get better looks.
As for the 5-6 Lady Vikings, they'll be on the road tomorrow to face Raceland. And that's it for sports. For WMKY, I'm Sean Delaney.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics. Eagle basketball will host Jacksonville State on Thursday, January 18th. The women's game starts at 4 p.m. and the men tip off at 7 p.m. The men's game will also be televised by the CBS Sports Network. Tickets and information from the MSU Eagle Ticket Office at 783-2386, online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. The S&P 500 and NASDAQ recorded all-time closing highs as investors remained optimistic on the U.S. economy. The Dow Industrials did drop 12.87 at 25,283. But as mentioned, the broader averages were stronger today. The S&P 500 was up 4.56 at 2747.71, and the NASDAQ Composite was up 20.83 at 7157.39. NASDAQ's strength was underscored by shares of Facebook, Amazon, Google parent Alphabet, and Netflix, as all four stocks finished higher in today's trading. In corporate news, Snap shares declined 3% after Jefferies downgraded them to hold from buy. Jefferies said that fundamental execution needs to be shown before they could become more positive on this name. And also, candy giant Hershey submitted a final bid to acquire Nestle's U.S. confectionery business, and Hershey shares jumped 1% today. In the commodities markets, oil was up 0.75% at $61.90 a barrel. Gold was down 0.1% at $1,321.10 an ounce. Overseas in Europe, stocks were strong as the Stock 600 index was up just over 1%. And in Asia, stocks were up as well, with the Shanghai Composite up 0.5%. And Hang Seng was up, or I should say, the Hang Seng index in Hong Kong finished with a gain of 0.25%. Among Dow stocks, the best performers are Caterpillar and Walmart. The worst performers are United Health Group and Goldman Sachs. In the S&P 500, the best performers were Seagate Technology and Kohl's, and the worst performers were Biogen and L Brands. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Global down 68 cents at 73.40, CSX up $1.02 at 58.74, AEP up 67 cents at 71.47, Marathon Petroleum up 4 cents at 69.38, AK Steel up 3 cents at 6.64, and Kroger was up 65 cents to finish at 27.97. Reporting for WMKY, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR comes from Papa John's Pizza in the Patrick Center, Moorhead. Papa John's made-to-order specialty pizzas include spicy Italian, Tuscan six cheese, Mediterranean veggie, spinach Alfredo, and Hawaiian barbecue chicken. Side items include garlic parmesan breadsticks, cheese sticks, chicken wings, and poppers. Desserts include chocolate chip cookies and double chocolate chip brownies. For pickup or delivery in Moorhead and Round County, Papa John's can be reached at 784-3551. Or online at papajohns.com.
Coffee Tree Books in Moorhead will host a concert by Joanna James from noon to 1 p.m. on Saturday, January 27th. The duo will perform a variety of music styles, including folk, soul, jazz, and blues. Admission is free, and the concert is open to the public.
Now on display at the Rowan County Arts Center is a photography exhibit entitled The Shape of Things by James Knoll. On display through January 12th, the exhibit features objects found in everyday life. The Rowan County Arts Center is open Mondays through Fridays from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. The exhibit is free and open to the public.
And turning once again to the weather forecast for the WMKY listening area, tonight a 30% chance of rain with cloudy skies and lows around 32 degrees. Tomorrow it'll be mostly cloudy, highs near 44. Tomorrow night a 20% chance of showers in the afternoon, mostly cloudy with lows around 39. On Wednesday a 30% chance of showers, mostly cloudy with highs up around 56. That night mostly cloudy, lows around 47. And on Thursday we can expect a 50% chance of showers in the afternoon, mostly cloudy with highs up near 62. It's currently 38 degrees in Ashland and 37 degrees everywhere else in the listening region, including here in Moorhead.
That's going to do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Chuck Moraz, Ellen Barnett, Tilden Johnson, Jacob Lindberg, Sean Delaney, Greg Jenkins, and Paul Hitchcock. WUKY's Josh James chipped in, and Hilliard Lyons' Bud Luke had our stock report. With our feature segment today, WMKY's own Chaz Jenkins. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead, and translator W202BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Arlo Barnett and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Leanne Akers. For WMKY News, All Things Considered is next. It's 5 o'clock.